It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Deborah Amos. A few weeks ago, I went grocery shopping at a supermarket in Brooklyn with an Iraqi family, brand new residents of the United States.
You can see these cans. This is vegetables. Classic. Could
we find Aboud Al-Kafaji and his family settled in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn in June. We're spending time with him as part of our series on Iraqi refugees. His family had to leave Iraq after Al-Kafaji was threatened with death. He had worked as an interpreter for the U.S. Marines. Now he uses his English to help his wife pick out the food she knows from home.
I think that's hummus.
Is there any American foods that you haven't recognized that you didn't know what it was?
Of course, there is too many. For example, when we come here for the first time, just like you see that one over there?
Asparagus.
Asparagus. We don't have it in Iraq.
Asparagus, that's been the easy part. Back in Iraq, he was warned that Americans hate Muslims. Here in Brooklyn, he found friendly neighbors. What he failed to find were other Iraqi refugees. He's one of the few allowed to resettle in the U.S., and standing here in a frozen food aisle, he doesn't seem to believe it yet.
Even my wife sometimes said, don't tell our families there that we are in America, because maybe they will envy us.
So how did Aboud Al-Kafaji escape the threats of Baghdad? You could say he was rescued by the Marine captain he once worked for in Iraq. Captain Zach Iskall told a Senate hearing that without Al-Kafaji's help, his Marines were as good as deaf and dumb on the battlefield. 6 months later, Al-Kafaji and his family were allowed into the country. And now they are home.
For that, I consider myself very, very lucky. It's some kind of luck.
Do you think that the United States government has treated those Iraqis who worked for them fairly?
I think everybody who works with the Americans, he wouldn't think that someday America have to return back that favor. It's not a favor. It's a duty for the educated Iraqis to dealing with the American a new democracy, just to settle the good things in their country.
But Aboud's wife, Batul, is shaking her head. She interrupts in Arabic. She wants to know, why do Americans allow other nationalities to settle here, but Iraqis who help the Americans, they have to wait? Then one of their daughters, Shema, adds that Americans should try to help not just the thousands of Iraqi interpreters like her father, but all the Iraqis who have fled the country, more than 2 million of them.
There is too many people. They're innocent people. They're living dangerous. They must allow for them to come in, not just here. They help them to go to any country just to feel safe, not just to come in America.
But if all of these Iraqis leave and live somewhere else, who rebuilds the country? Where do you get your doctors?
Because they don't let them live to build the country. Who stay there if you are a doctor, if you are an engineer, if you are working in anything's good for the country, they kill you.
And so Aboud Al-Kafaji says it again. He is grateful for the Marine captain who saved him. It was Ramadan when we visited, the month when Muslims fast from dawn to dusk. The family gathers for the traditional evening meal that begins with dates and yogurt and a prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thousands of miles away in a cramped hotel room in Amman, Jordan, another Iraqi family is breaking their Ramadan fast.
Allahumma inna laka asimna.
Ali Jaber also worked for the American military. He and his wife fled Iraq more than a year ago. They are still waiting to resettle in the U.S. Ali scans the internet, watches TV programs, anything he can to learn about the country he hopes to live in one day.
I know a little bit about the American society. You know, I watch opera, you know, Dr. Phil. So I know something about that.
Ali Jaber also has supporters in the U.S. military, But they haven't been able to move an American bureaucracy that wasn't prepared for this many refugees, even those who worked for the U.S.
Did you enjoy your time with the Americans when you worked for them?
That was the coolest period in my life, believe me. Like, they were like brothers, not soldiers. I wasn't like an employee. They were treating me like a friend, a son.
National Guard soldiers now send him money. He shows me a notebook where he keeps a record of every dollar, money he insists he will pay back in full.
They are sending me donations to live. I tell my friend, my family, I say, an American guy is spending money on me, send me money. He said, you are a liar. I said, I believe me. How can I live then?
And do you think you'll still be friends with him when you go?
Sure. He's like my father now. So I would like to be his neighbor.
Ali Jaber is talking about Juan Estrada, a sergeant with the Army National Guard. He's now back in the U.S.
And it's rare in your life, in my life anyway, where you have a chance to help someone that is so personal. And I'm willing to support him as long as it takes, I think.
Estrada pools his money with National Guard Sergeant Mike Gorski, who also worked with Jaber in Iraq.
This is Mike, and yeah, I agree with Juan. You know, even a couple $100 helps, and this is almost kind of put in our budget now. I mean, financially, you do whatever you can do. We'd do the same for one of our buddies if they were having problems.
It's a crisis now for Iraqi interpreters like Ali Jaber and the more than 2 million Iraqis who fled the country, one that the U.S. government is trying to figure out how to solve. Tomorrow, we'll hear from one critic who says the U.S. is not doing enough, and a government official who says there are no easy answers.
I certainly acknowledge that Iraqi refugees pose a special problem. They also pose a special risk, and we're going to have to address both sides of that equation.
While Washington debates, Ali Jaber and his wife wait in a rented room in Jordan, their lives on hold.
I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be something important. I just want to have my job, my wife, and my kids. I will do that. The first thing I will do in America is to have a baby. I just want to live peacefully.